The Ramones, right here on KPTZ, and it's 12:30 here in lovely Port Townsend, Washington, and time once again for Bureaucracy Now, our weekly opportunity to talk with my co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. I'm Taylor Clark, and I'm just going to start off to say good day to send questions, because we don't have a set agenda here today, so questions can be sent to dj@kptz.org, and I will attempt to read them if they're short or paraphrase them if they're long. Questions for John. I'm not a good source of information about what's going on in the city, although you could always ask me how the radio station's going.
Increasingly, you're becoming that go-to source. And yeah, how's the radio station going, interim, most esteemed interim general manager?
Well, I can't give you too much information because I would use the words PDA and then I would simply growl.
Oh.
And yeah.
I'm looking at your dog.
Yes, my dog, who's not a growly dog.
Not a growly dog.
No, we're having a fun time here. This is my first, I guess I'm in my second week now. And yeah. And there's just a lot of moving parts that the public aren't aware of to keep a radio station on the air, much like probably a city too, things that we just expect to happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then when they don't happen, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So I have been beginning of the week. I got an email that our phone system was going to be cut off in 30 minutes if we didn't get a new credit card entered. So we entered the new credit card, and that was all fine. But it turns out somehow we had lost the auto replenish capability.
Those are the that's like the sausage making, right?
Yeah,
that's like how to keep an organization moving when people. I mean, people can care about financial transactions if you're, particularly if you're a KPTZ member donor. You care about the station. That's how you generate this station, really. But you care about the music and the commentary and the people,
right?
And you kind of it's easy to forget.
It's the part of the iceberg that's above the water.
Yeah,
people really like that part.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, taking over and trying to be the interim general manager is difficult because I knew my part that was under the water, there's a bunch of other parts, moving parts that I was not aware of.
Well, if we're not underwater now, and at some point we will be.
Well, we are still on the air.
Yeah.
but it's made me really appreciate the volunteers that we have that keep the station going, and volunteers and our small, very small paid staff who I've been leaning on some. All of the volunteers have been leaned on by me.
Yeah, they're amazing. I know most of them, and they're awesome people and dedicated.
I just leaned on one today for the Uptown Parade.
Hey.
It's coming up on Saturday,
right? Yeah, that's right.
And with luck, she will be collecting up volunteers. We have signs, and we will be parading along with other worthy people and organizations in our community. So we like to participate in that
stuff. Very nice. I love it.
So shout out to Buzzy, who's going to get that all going for us.
Nicely done, Buzzy. I guess it's sort of the corollary here, or the kind of comparison is, I always try to make the city budget, something interesting for people.
Mm-hmm.
That might be just something I'll never have a chance to actually achieve. People don't care about the budget. They care about what's done to streets and parks and, you know, library books and permits and housing. I mean, all the things people care about. But when you bring it back to the basics of the fundamental structure, it's just not as fun because it's not as tangible. So I have a commiseration and a camaraderie for how to keep this amazing station going. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Speaking of doing a good job, I saw a meme, which of course is a reliable source of information.
Of course. If it was on the internet, it must be true.
It was on Facebook.
Oh, even more so.
Even more so. But it was posted by a friend.
Okay.
Somebody who I'm actually friended with, not just in the PT community where, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
It said, and I found this very exciting, that the Port Townsend City Council had voted in favor of keeping Raccoon House.
Yeah.
And the meme actually went on to say thank you.
Aww.
And it listed John Morrow and six out of our seven city council people. And I believe the only reason that the seventh was not listed, because I understand it was a unanimous vote, is that she was on Zoom. And so they could only count the people they saw in front of them.
Yeah. You know, that was not always a happy place for all parties involved.
No, we've discussed it here before.
I'd like to believe we're in a happy place now. And honestly, the image I have in my head is of a smiling Mr. Kevin Mason. at the hearing or at the city council meeting on Monday, and we got to yes because we worked together. So top marks to the team who worked really hard. I mean, particularly KT Labadee and Emma Boland and the team. They just really looked at this from all angles. I know our city attorney, Hattie Greenwood, Steve King, our public works director. There were a lot of folks involved. But it was out of that spirit of how can we get to something that resembles the unique nature of this town?
And Kevin had to stick with it, too.
I think
it was difficult for him also.
Yeah, of course.
And I understand there was applause.
Yeah. It was kind of a milestone.
Yeah.
And so, just for those coming up to speed on this, the city council made a unanimous decision to accept as public donation the what's been, I think, lovingly referred to as the Raccoon Lodge on Clay Street that Mr. Kevin Mason has created with his creative mind and really, it seems like, very agile set of tools and know-how, technical know-how, to build something truly unique in this town. Mm-hmm. And now it is actually public art. There's lots of process. We went through everything from Arts Commission to Council to, you know, but it's now something that is city owned and part of our public art. Well done.
Good. Yes. Yeah. And congratulations on finding a creative solution to a difficult problem. Yeah. And, this was a controversy at one point, and I think now it's a success story.
If we could do a few more of those, it'd be really great.
Okay.
that's sort of the mandate for me is take everything that's controversy and make it nice.
I'm sure you will have the opportunity to do that. And actually, back you were asking me about what I've been doing is each one of these things is is an opportunity to try and do things a little better, a little differently. We make mistakes, but we try to learn from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a really important lesson. And also, you use the acronym PDA, and I don't want to get too far over my skis.
Yeah.
But when you have that response, everybody who's not visibly here, or physically here in the station, I could see it in your face. There was a bit of a wince. It was a little,
I don't want to get us into trouble.
That's okay. But I guess this is another thing which, no matter what your perspective or what agency you sit in or where you are, if you're new, if you're old, if you've seen this movie before, we increasingly are moving toward the take controversy and make it come out nice part of things. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but we've had so many productive, collaborative conversations, and it'll be in the public view on August 21st when there's a public hearing with the Public Development Authority at Fort Worden Lifelong Learning Center and city.
There's a public hearing within the context of the city council?
Within the city council. And that's a chance for those who have been wondering what's going on, might not be finding the PDA board meetings or not attending them, wondering where the city's at. That's a good chance to check back in with the status of, well, where is that? What are we doing? What do we know? And what does the future look like? We won't have all those answers all mapped out in detail, but this town is too dependent on each other and too dependent on an amazing state asset like the fort to not give it the love it needs to be successful.
About too dependent, but wonderfully dependent. It's an important part of the fabric of our community.
Yeah.
What the organizations and events that take place at the fort, within the context of the buildings which are maintained and operated.
I'm just thinking about events this month. This place is going to pop as it does every August. And, that's one of the places where you can go for a lot of excitement, music, festivities, gathering. It's a gathering place for this part of the country. It's not just locally or regionally.
Are you thinking of Thing, which is coming up?
It's one of the many things I've been thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I did a lot of stuff with I was enjoying the Acoustic Blues Festival because, I'm an acoustic blues kind of guy. And so I got to go to the Bobby Rush concert and I did Blues at the Club. And then I sadly turned down I had an opportunity to attend the Saturday showcase. Mm. But after a week of actually working for the first time in a decade, I took the weekend off because work-life balance is important.
Well said. Well said.
Why don't we just at least introduce our guest who is observing today? We are joined in the studio today, but she's a silent partner, by the new City of Port Townsend People and Performance Director, Cynthia Schaefer. And we haven't put a mic in front of you, so I'm just going to say thanks so much for coming down and being here on Bureaucracy Now. And we hope to have you back and put a mic in front of you. And then we can talk about things like work-life balance, which is an important topic for me.
We're supposed to have a silent observer, no longer silent. I will say this.
Sage is here, too.
This is the quality of the person that we have hired in this role, is that she wants to do her homework, understand the community, understand the station, the physical layout, and meet you, and be ready to roll.
Now she knows I'll out her.
She's committed to coming on the show. She also plays music. I mean, I can kind of go off on how awesome Cynthia is, but I'll just dangle a few little, you know, carrots in front of folks. It'll be a fun show. We'll have her here. We'll get to know her as a person, her role, why that's necessary, and maybe we'll talk work-life balance too.
Good. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
what else should we talk about? Because I had Raccoon Lodge today, and that's really all I had. Oh, I did notice that on the front page of the Leader, they had a headline about the sales tax.
Yeah.
And what was the? I wish I could remember the exact wording of the headline, but I wouldn't have voted for it based on the headline. I'll just put it that way.
But it grabbed your attention, whatever the headline was.
It did grab my attention.
That's the
purpose.
And
then in the first paragraph, they said that this is to fund street maintenance, which is a true statement. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like I said, I think maybe last week, you can go online and figure out more information because it's an initiative that's going to be on the ballot.
It's not something you can talk about much.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so there's that. You know, I could... I was thinking through all the things that I've been up to this week, which is probably not why people tune into the show necessarily, but I'll dangle one out there because it's something I'll be thinking about kind of on the slow burn for the next month. Mm-hmm. I'm presenting to city managers across the country, actually this October at the ICMA conference and, the International City County Management Association. Basically the city managers across the country in the world club. And actually there's a lot. It's kind of remarkable.
Do you get a secret handshake?
I haven't been given that yet. But it's a great chance to share ideas, trade stories. I mean, I was on the phone today for other reasons talking with the incoming WCMA president. So that's the Washington chapter. She and I were discussing financial sustainability. We're trading ideas and she's the assistant city manager in Kenmore. And, you know, those networks really are important. And yesterday, for instance, I convened a group of city managers from Bainbridge, Sequim, Port Angeles, and here. And the four of us get together and again.
This is, you do this pretty regularly.
We do it every month.
Yeah.
You know, we've done it. We brought them to council chambers once. We met in person. But, you know, in a way, we got to hang together. And, you know, for every discipline, too. I know, for instance, Cynthia is already connected with some of these, her counterparts in Sequim and other cities nearby. And that's how we, I think, learn, but how we test ideas and how we get better on our game. And so I could talk probably too long about how important that is. Especially in a remote, more remote place like here. But I guess the what I wanted to dangle in front of listeners' ears was I think something you'll increasingly hear as my team thinks about the future with the community, you know, here in Port Townsend. And it's really about sustainability. And I know we just came off of our financial sustainability project, and that's really helping us guide and stabilize a mm-hmm. series of moves and, you know, direction into the future to make sure that we can indefinitely provide service to the community. But one of the points I want to make in this presentation is that people often say, well, what about climate change? You know, what about sustainability? Yeah. And I'm on the ICMA Sustainability Committee.
Hey, just ask Lahaina about climate change.
Well, geez, I know. It's terrible.
Yeah, awful.
You know, so I was asked to put a proposal in to ICMA because I'm on their Sustainability Committee, kind of new to that, but mm-hmm. it's a group of maybe 12 city managers across the country who serve on that. And whoops, mine was picked. And so now I have to do it. And I really like thinking about this because it kind of is a perfect meld of a lot of the work I used to do in sustainability, specifically in climate change, and the work that I do now. And it's some hard truths. And I like being both gentle and direct about how we talk about things that, you know, it's maybe counterintuitive that in order to be more sustainable, we might need to build more housing. Maybe not everyone feels that way because, look, it's beautiful, it's quiet, there's no air pollution, there's no traffic, whatever. But really, if you think about beyond the individual, beyond even the community, sometimes the right thing to do is not intuitive. And what I'm trying to make the point in the presentation that I'm just starting to create, don't tell ICMA that I'm just starting on.
When do you deliver this?
It's October.
So oh, okay. You have time.
I have time, but like the slides are due like next week or something crazy. So that's why I'm thinking about it. And is really that, you know, if we're going to do it right in this community for things like climate change, we need to focus on the things that we're good at, not just as a community, but also what we're good at as a city. And I will say, you know, everyone knows we're not good at a lot of things, and I get that constructive feedback often, and that's fair. But we're increasingly really good at things like sewer and water.
So and when you say as a city, you mean as a city government?
As a city government,
okay,
yeah.
As opposed to as a city collection of people.
Yeah, although I think there's obviously kind of a permeation, you know, that's something that's, they're very related, I guess is the easiest way of saying it, because we can't do everything by ourselves. We rely on partners. We rely on the community. But one of the things I'm trying to make clear is that if we're going to, for instance, afford the infrastructure we have or afford the ability to bring it back up to snuff with such a small tax base, not only do we have to be pretty, aggressive or what's the right word?
Nimble
with federal state funding and really savvy about it. We also really need to focus on what we're good at. And if we want outcomes related to a more climate resilient, more walkable, bikeable community, we have all the tools in our toolbox already to do that. It just requires a lot of guts. And if we're going to do things like build middle housing to keep people in our community who work here, walking and biking in our community, adding to our tax base, adding to our local business vitality, those are moves that on the face of it, if you're next to somebody who's, you know, building a duplex, you might not be pleased because you're like mine, your view of the mountain might go away,
right.
You know?
Did you lose your view of the mountain?
Yeah, I mean, part of it.
Part of it.
But and 8 other houses went up near my house. And so actually,
change is difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, you know, there's the immediate reaction and then there's the, These are now neighbors that I enjoy being around, that add value, community, cohesion.
They're part of our community. They add value to our community. They then volunteer and join our organizations.
Or work, or put kids in school. So just thinking about what a sustainable community is, I guess I want to challenge our community, not in an appropriate way to think about the big picture and to think if we really, I mean, it's not just like recycling and saying you bought something sustainable. That's not going to get us there. Doing individual deeds, great. That's important. But it's really a structure and a system that'll set us up for success as a community. And if you don't fix the structure and the system, all the individual actions really don't add up to a ton. So as a city, we're thinking about that. And I want to challenge other cities around the country and kind of give, especially small and more isolated communities, a sense that you have the toolbox. You just need to do a few of these things like Port Townsend is doing.
You know, it's interesting as you talked about our community that this stuff is more noticeable in a smaller environment the person who moves in down the street in the new house that maybe went up in front of your view it's going to add real value to our neighborhood, and you might not notice that in a big city, but you certainly notice it in Port Townsend, where you start to see the same people, you see them at different events.
So it's
exciting, I think, in a way that living in a big city didn't excite me.
Yeah, you could see the tangible positive benefits, and I think about it in a different way than what do I have to gain or lose? And I think if that's the mentality on any issue, recent issues, even at city council, we're not going to get very far on how to solve them together. If you're thinking what's best for the most people, the greater community over the long term, you know, there's some really cool stuff we can do in this creative community to really be forerunners in this space and to really, you know, not just think about a deficit mentality of, gosh, we've got all this pipe and all this road and we're, you know, on this coastline and gosh, we're in the fire of, you know, in the line of fire for sea level rise. but to think about how to use our strengths, you know, as a cohesive community.
Can you think of some examples of things that we have done that where we've tried to pioneer something that maybe hasn't been done that much before?
Is this? Yeah, sure. A couple things. I mean, I immediately think of transportation, and not that they were the most popular things for everybody, but edge lane roads. You know, what we did downtown, what we did on Blaine, Coon, a number of streets, and we're continuing to do that. It's a well-tested strategy around the country, but, you know, to my knowledge, in Washington State, not very many cities have done it.
Well, and I'm really excited. It's the Coon one in particular. Yep. That's out at North Beach, right?
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
You know, that community for years has been asking for a solution to their problem of people driving too fast down their street on the way to the North Beach Park. And, and I think this seems have we gotten feedback on that from residents?
Well,
are they feeling like that need has been met?
I've had some anecdotal, you know, subjective feedback, and largely what I've heard is like, hey, thanks. I've heard a few folks say, I still don't think it works. I've also got quantitative feedback that says it works if you look at speeds. We put a tube counter on and we see that, you know, speeds are slowing down. Of course, the experience is different. So I use these streets all the time. And usually I don't, you know, I drive them, but I also walk them, I bike them, I take my kid on them, you know, and it's just a different experience. And really it was about, you know, for Coon, for instance, something like $5,000 worth of grinding and a couple thousand dollars worth of paint.
Oh, to get rid of the center stripe.
And you have a new street.
I know.
You know, and I know it's not ideal. I know if we could, we'd build sidewalks and bike lanes. And I mean, but really that costs a ton of money. So we're trying to stay within, you know, some reasonable budget and use some creative techniques.
Nimble.
That's a good example. I'd say, you know, the same thing, you know, it's not like we've done things innovatively, but we've got a great base team at the wastewater treatment plant. We're the longest running city for state awards. That cues me thinking about public safety. We just heard a siren. I'm thinking, what are we doing in that space that's innovative?
For listeners who don't know, Mountain View Commons is adjacent to the Port Townsend Police Station.
That's right.
And I'm assuming that was a... That was a police call, I'm thinking.
Sure. And maybe that's another place, maybe not in the, you know, physical, you know, environmental sustainability space. And it's not unique across the state or the country, but our navigator program and our school resource officer in the ways that our police team serve the community in ways that aren't just the classic, you know, what you think of what a police officer does. Those are things that are kind of community desires. And I think really on the forefront of 21st century policing, that's not how we used to do things. It's more proactive.
Hey, you guys have the bikes on the ground yet?
We do.
That was happening this summer, right?
Thank you for reminding me of that. We had Sergeant
Remind
Sharif.
Our listeners what that's about.
Yeah, so actually it was an initiative really led by now Sergeant Kamal Sharif, who's been on the radio a couple times.
We had him here.
Yeah, and you know, we used to have a bike team, and we used to have you know, officers on bikes, and that kind of went away. I'm not exactly sure why, if I could be honest. But we brought it back, and not only do we have the team up because of, you know, recruitment retention, which I think we'll probably talk about with Cynthia sometime soon, but, you know, especially in a community with events and the ability to, I mean, I ride my bike partly to stay healthy, but partly to be accessible. I mean, I could literally stop in my tracks and have a conversation with somebody on the sidewalk. I don't need to park. I don't need to, you know, turn around.
You're a long time bike advocate, though.
Yeah,
I think do I recall in your history, you were the bike coordinator for Cascade Bicycle Club in Seattle.
So I think, you know, of course, it's a little something I've done most of my life, but the access, if you think about policing, you can get into a crowd, you can hang out, you can be accessible.
You're accessible. So you're not in a car, you're not separated, you're now apart. This is the reason we like to cycle, is because we're then we're more connected with our environment.
Quick responses. I mean, as a family, we've been out on the weekend and, you know, an officer like, you know, Officer Sharif or Sergeant Sharif comes up and starts riding with my family. I mean, that's, you know, that's like extra special service there.
Yeah.
Just like your police team is very accessible. So, yeah. So, you know, across city services, I mean, our library is a great example of really innovative things that we've done and kind of pioneered. You know, pretty much every team has those examples. And it's really born by creativity and people thinking through, how do we serve our community better? And I'm not saying we always get it right, but we're certainly trying to be, you know, on the more cutting edge side of things.
Speaking of the library, it reminds me of you have the Poet Laureate thing. Is that still collecting
No, where
do you stand in that
process? I think we're right in the middle of the process. So, you know, library's a partner with that, but it's really been driven by the Port Townsend Arts Commission. They've really taken this on, and particularly Lindsay Whalen, who's come on the show too.
Okay, yeah, my mistake.
No, it's great. It's not a mistake. It's been awesome to see their chutzpah and their interest in launching the program. We are very close to being able to say something about this. I don't want to steal their thunder, but their process has concluded. They've received applicants. They make a recommendation to the mayor and council, and the mayor and then council confers a nomination and an appointment of a poet laureate. And I expect that to be, you know, within a few months, I think we'll have that.
Which actually kind of reminds me of, I should say that KPTZ is in a similar kind of recruiting. Mm. We are accepting applications for our new general manager. I am only the interim general manager. I am not applying for the job.
Oh, come on.
I like being retired, man. I really do. And I have my pieces that I'll, you know, I'm not going to quit the station, but there is a job description on our website, and we're open for applications until the 15th.
Is it the 15th?
It's the 15th, and which is sort of next week, isn't it?
I look forward greatly. I mean, one of the joys of my job is not just, I mean, is people. And I get to, you know, today I was around City Hall knocking on doors and talking to folks in the office and delivering things and just seeing the great team that we have and actually understanding the work they do really well. I get that same chance with our agency partners, you know, so I had lunch with the fire chief and the police chief this week. You know, I had a good conversation with the CEO of the mill this week. I, you know, talked to city managers. I get to interact with you as the leader of this organization. It's really... especially in a community that kind of, we need each other. Mm-hmm. The agencies have just been in this sweet spot of collaborative ethos, and we need to keep that moving. So whoever you hire, dear KPTZ, may this person be somebody that we can work just as collaboratively with.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we hire somebody good, and I'm not quite sure. I'm sort of thinking through for myself, you know, do we want somebody who's primarily a radio person? Are they primarily a nonprofit version of a person? Are they, you know, are we talking people management skills? I don't know what we're talking about. And I'm trying to get a handle on that for myself as I look at the job, because it turns out I think I'm going to be on the interview
team,
which I'm excited about.
That's great.
You know,
that's great.
That's, you know, why not?
Yeah, we should be. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, what a draw. And I guess people still have time. They still have 5 days to put an application. And if you're listening to this, KPTZ needs you if you have what it takes.
John just looked at his watch, and I realized that once again our time has scampered by, and I'm stalling here because I had apparently not done.
Well, while you do that, why don't I just talk about next week? Is that all right?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So next week I am not here Thursday, and so our communications and marketing manager Shelley Levins will be in the chair.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I suspect we have another staff guest who will talk about a specific project, but I'll just let you get excited about who that might be and what it might be about.
That sounds great. Okay. I had actually not done my, that was me scrambling. I wanted just to talk.
No one knows.
I wanted to talk briefly because now we're into the to the musical portion of our show, and we just finished with my favorite festival of the year, which is the Acoustic Blues Festival. Mm. I don't know if you were out on Friday for the free concert on the lawn.
No.
Oh well.
Yeah. I was under the pump. That was the midday concert, right?
Yeah, it was the midday concert.
I got to one of those, but it's kind of rare. I usually eat at my desk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got a chance to interview John Tavius Willis, who is the artistic director. Mm. And I got a chance to be the co-host out there along with Chicago Bob Longmire. And I co-hosted this once or twice before. Mm. And on one of those events, I got a chance to talk to John Tavius when he was just a performer and a... Mm. Not the artistic director. Mm. So it was really interesting to me what he talked about. The part that was interesting is, you know, this is blues, and blues is is certainly roots music, and we really, it's a look to the past.
Yeah.
But Jontavious himself is a young guy. He's under 30, and I think he was 23 when I first interviewed him, and he said, you know, all his friends were listening to rap, and they didn't understand why he was listening to the blues, but I noticed that they had quite a few musicians now who are sort of almost a new generation of musicians coming. And one of the things they did out there is in addition to music, they had a lot of discussion of, I don't know what to call it, basically current events and, you know, the I don't know, maybe you can think of the word.
Contemporary something?
Well, no. But you know, racism and,
oh, yeah,
and inclusion,
sure,
and that those sorts of topics that it's... and again, I can't. I'm having a
diversity, equity, inclusion.
There
belonging.
You go. There you go. See,
yeah,
you
there
know,
you go. Okay.
You know that,
yep,
stuff.
Yep.
So that was a part of, yep, what they were doing out there this year.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and that was. I think that they haven't always done that. You know, it's been more focused on just the music.
Sure.
But now it was sort of music and culture, and really contemporary culture. So, I'm going to start off here today. With a cut from Jontavious Willis from a 2019 album, which is his most recent album. I talked to him. He's working on something new. But this is a tune he called The Blues Is Dead? ? And apparently the answer is nope.
My head.